your tolerance.
I think so, we can get that.
No, it's okay. There we go. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Okay, the Shakti Mala. Yeah, actually, I grew up in California. I was born on Guam. How many people know where Guam is? Where Guam is? So, you know where Saipan is? You know where the Philippines are?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. It's 1,000 miles west towards the United States. It's the United States military base. And my father was there into World War II. Mother met my mother and came back. I grew up. I was born in 1948. Then went to the University of California. Started in electrical engineering, changed to biological engineering, graduated in psychology. Went to Northwestern for doctor program, but my mentor agreed. He was president of the American Psychological Association. That, you know, Western knowledge was quite limited. So eventually then I ended up, you know, heading east and, you know, I met Prabhupada, like that, you know, so on. And then because my nature, you know, I ended up in this movement like that, you know, so on. So Prabhupada gives a very, very nice explanation. He says every you know, community has its books, you know, like chemistry, there's certain books, you know, and physics like that and stuff. Everybody has their literature, you know, and so on. So he said it's very, very, you know, unreasonable to think that religion is not going to have its books. You know? Mm-hmm. You know? And so, of course, our movement is based upon Bhagavad Gita. You know? If you look at what we're doing, is one thing, we're working in this area of world classical literature throughout the world, which is, you know, people substantially appreciate like that. Aha. 70% of the time, the glass gets knocked over. Like that. Put it back again. It's interesting. Yeah. What is the most popular book in the world? Bible and those kind of things. But people write down the most famous classical literature. Recently they had maybe like, 200 of the world's greatest authors. And what do you think of the 50 best books in the world? And Mahabharata and Ramayana started coming in now because people are beginning to appreciate this. You didn't before. But they put them by alphabetical order. But they said, but you know, we're not going to put them by which one's got the most votes. But one book got 7 times more votes than any other book. And what book was that? This is all over the world, you know, authors. Don Quixote. Have you heard of this? No, it's from Spain, right? By Miguel Cervantes and stuff like that. So, you know, he died the same year as Shakespeare. It's very interesting. It seemed to have been inspired by the same Gandharva, because so many things were parallel. But it's incredible. We're traveling here and there and stuff. And this is how people understand who they are. I mean, Bhagavad Gita is being passed down. The Mahabharata is being passed down. In China, what's the big book in China? There's Confucius.
Yeah.
Analectics. But also?
Huh?
Journey to the West, Sun Wukong. If you're a kid, you might know about Forbidden Kingdom,
yes.
With Jet Li and Jackie Chan.
Yeah.
It's a good movie. It's like, that's clean, it's a kid's movie. But it's based upon the same classic, hundreds and hundreds and thousands of year old. And one monk, on the impetus of the great Jiang Emperor, he's supposed to go from China to India, right? Because all they have in China is basically karmakanda scriptures. Scriptures that tell you how to pay off your karma, how to do good things, how to help people from hell. And they have the same cosmology. There's a Yamaraj. You know, China's next door neighbors. So they have the same thing. There's a Yamaraj, there's hell. There's Nagas and dragons. And so China, India. You know. But all they have are scriptures that tell you how to nullify your karma. You did something. You were making an animal work too hard. The poor fellow fell down and hurt himself. You're going to get a reaction for doing this. Okay, so I do some fasting, some austerity. Okay, you paid for that. You know, prayas chitta, right? Mm. Yeah, exculpation. Okay. So they had that, but they wanted something to get out of this cycle of samsara altogether. So then he sent this emperor, this monk, Tupikata, to go to India, right? To see the Buddha, right? Yeah. Tathagata Buddha. There are many Buddhas. One time I was in Golden Gate Park chanting my rounds, and this kind of like oriental gardener guy was there, and he said, just like this, he said, "You believe Buddha?" And I said, oh, yes. Yeah. Golden Buddha. Goranga Buddha. He said, oh, I never heard that Buddha. Very good Buddha, Indian Buddha. Yeah, he is. According to their definition, Lord Chaitanya is a Buddha. What's it called? Tathagata Buddha. What's the one? Pure Land Movement. Lokiteshvara Buddha. There are many like that. So, yeah. So they were going there to get higher knowledge because India is always the source. It's always, you come from the Middle East to India, you come from places like that. So this is the way the world works. If you want good food, you can go to Italy. If you want romance, you go to?
France.
Okay, France. If you want machines, everybody knows. If you want espionage and cunning and deceit, England. British. Yeah. Yes. Indians should know this. You know. Yeah, they controlled everything. Yeah. So, but if you want philosophy, culture, religion, you know, if you're Indian, everybody kind of thinks you're a mystic yogi, right? Like, if you're Chinese, you must know kung fu. If you're a black guy, you have to be a basketball player. You know, it's like, yeah, okay, yeah. So, in India, so much literature, you know. The Catalogus Catalogorum, it's maintained by Indologists, you know, all known extant ancient Sanskrit literatures. Maharaj of Mysore's library, the London Museum, different things. So when it was last published, it had over 160,000 ancient Sanskrit texts, mathematics, Upanishads, everything like that. Yeah. And the person, people say that amongst all these, Panini, without a doubt, is the greatest pre-modern grammarian. Yeah. The Mahabharata and Ramayana rank equally with the Odyssey and the, what is the other one there? Odyssey and the Iliad. Yeah. And he goes on to say, this is a big professor at University of California, he said, and in my opinion, the Srimad Bhagavatam is the greatest work of devotion ever written, possibly being equaled by other languages, other books in the Indian languages like that and stuff. Mm-hmm. So people don't know about it, but Srimad Bhagavatam, scholars who do know about it, they tell you it's just in a class by itself. Mm. The depth of the philosophy, the sophistication of the grammar, and the beauty of the poetry is nothing like it. It's compared to the moon, compared to the stars, like that and stuff. You know? So we're just appreciating it. It's beginning to appreciate it. You know? But then Mahabharata puts everything in very, you know, simple, practical way with stories, and people are attracted and so on. You know, even for Westerners, a very, very good version is Peter Brook. You may have seen this. Indians don't like it because they have a skinny Bhishma Dev, black Bhishma Dev, skinny guy and stuff, you know. But then you tell them, no, he did it for Westerners, and they go through recalculating and they say, okay, yeah. He's trying to create this impression that this is not like an Indian story. Don't think this was at that time a global story. You know, the world was one unity. It wasn't just Bharata. So he has Dronacharya as being his Japanese, you know, kung fu teacher, and you know, and Bhima's this. Actually, he was from Nigeria, but he looks like Bhima, big and just so friendly, and you know, can't control himself and everything else like that. So on. Actually, the only Indian in the whole thing is Sarabhai Malik. And her husband was like a minister, like that and stuff. You know. But very good for Westerners. Even once you get into the mood of it, it's very good. It's strong acting and everything else like that. And that's to attract people. So many stories. You know, we can start telling stories about Draupadi and Kunti, and it's just everybody amazed, you know, at the character. But that will take you to Swarga. Mm. You'll go to heaven and become Indra, like that and stuff. You know? But then Bhagavad Gita will take you out of this world. You know? Mm. Bhagavad Gita is the ABC, ka-ka-ga. It's the beginning. What's the conclusion? 1866. What does Krishna say in the end? Louder.
Sarva dharman paritajya mam ekam sharanam raja aham tam sarva pape bimokshaya sham masya.
Translation.
Surrender all variety of religion and give up all variety of religion and surrender unto me. I'll free you from all sins without any doubt.
Yeah. Prabhupada says the word dharma as religion there. I would say more like occupational duties. Uh-huh. Give up all these different social customs and everything else. He's talked about so many things. He's talked about yoga. He's talked about tapa. He's talked about study of scripture, swadhyaya. So, okay, I looked at them all. Arjuna, just give them all up and surrender to me. Mm-hmm. Like that, so on. I will protect you from all reactions. Moksha yishami masu chaha. So that's the beginning. Bhagavad Gita is for liberation. Does Krishna's two-arm form appear in Bhagavad Gita? He shows his Virat Roop, right?
Oh,
he shows his forearm form. Does he show his two-arm form?
He was speaking.
Afterwards.
Yeah. Right in the same chapter. Somyavapu. Yeah. For one moment he showed us a form that was so beautiful.
Yeah.
So it's there, but it's not emphasized. Mm. Bhagavad Gita is focusing on, Krishna says, surrender unto him who is the oldest, who is the origin of everything, who knows everything. You know, he's talking about his aspect. Mm. That's where you have to start. Different people on different levels. One time on class, one Sunday feast in New York, in San Francisco maybe, one hippie boy was like there all messed up, and he was talking all during the lecture, everything else, and Prabhupada finally looked at him and said, why are you disturbing this lecture? And he said, because I can't understand what you're saying. Mm. And Prabhupada looked at him and said, bring prasad. It's like a big plate of prasad. The guy was looking, and he was like listening, you know, like that stuff. Yeah. So different people are on different levels, right? Mm-hmm. We have to understand our own disease, cure it, and we have to learn how to help other people. Mm-hmm. How many people here have had any first aid training? Raise your hand there. Okay, yeah. What's the first rule of first aid? You have some problem there, wham. Okay, what's the first thing you take care of?
Put on your gloves.
Huh?
Put on gloves.
Wow, we're down the line. First thing is to make sure you don't get, you know, entangled in the same problem as the other person. If they're drowning, you make sure you're not going to drown. If they're caught with electrical current, you make sure you're not going to get caught with it. Mm. One little girl ran right in front of our van in Peru, hit it, went about this far through the air. We stopped. She just ran right in front of us. So I hopped out and was going to go see, and I almost got hit by a car. Yeah. First thing is to make sure you're safe. So preaching Sankirtan means make sure you're not going to fall in Maya by dealing with these people. You don't come off of Sankirtan and stop off in a bar for a little Johnny Walker, and then, wow, you get a drink after that, you know? Give me one of those things. Okay, second thing, what do you look for? Big bus accident, yeah? What do you look for? Somebody's lying there.
Breathing?
What do you check? You're safe. Bus accident, person's messed.
Breathing?
Not
pulse?
Breathing.
Pulse?
Huh? Not pulse.
Blood?
Well, guy, I hope he's not around accident with you guys around. You don't know?
Called
911? No. Bleeding.
Bleeding.
Oh.
Yeah, you can bleed to death faster than you can suffocate. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if somebody's cut really badly, you just take your bead bag, rip the strap off, tie it, put your flute through it, make a tourniquet.
Tourniquet.
Yeah. And then you check the breathing and stuff like that and so on. Yeah. So it's a science, you know. Maybe you know enough to keep the guy alive until the ambulance comes and they put him right on oxygen. And they know enough to keep him alive until they can get him to the hospital. The intern knows enough to keep him alive until emergency surgery can be done, and he knows enough to keep the guy stable until he goes back and has a real doctor go through and do an orthopedic surgeon, do 2 days worth of work on his knee. So different levels, you know? Yeah. And we can learn how to help people. Just, well, I don't know, but look, just come on Saturday. There's a nice program. These people have really got some good ideas and stuff like that and so on. They got good food and good music and good philosophy. Okay, I'll come. And of course we go to Prabhupada, he's our acharya, he's realizing all these things like that and stuff, you know? Okay. So investigate, yeah, very practical. Prabhupada says, so out of all these books we have, okay, so many, this is very, very nice. Upadeshamrita, probably got it over there, right? You don't have any? Yeah. This was written 500 years ago, not this copy, but in general. Because we're following Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna. The Brahma speaks the Vedas. They come down to Madhvacharya, Vyasa, Narada, Madhva. Then they go to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And of course, he's our Acharya. Some people are falling through Ramanuja. Some are following through Nimbarka. We're going through Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Pushti Marg, you're going through Nimbarka Swami. Nimbarka Swami? No, not Nimbarka Swami. Yeah. Balabha. Balabhacharya. Yeah. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was our line. The Christians have Luther, Martin Luther. You know, they're Lutheran, some of them are Lutheran, some are different things like that. Yeah, everybody has this line coming down. It's a living thing you're getting like that. So then 500 years ago, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's principal follower was Rupa Goswami. He was a prime minister of Bengal along with his brother Sanatana Goswami. He gave it all up to follow Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and preach and everything else, living very simply, you know, but absorbed in the mood of the gopis. They got so much like that, you know. So he summarized everything he knew, wrote such beautiful literature, everything else, in 11 verses, Upadeshamrita, the essence of advice, like that. What is it? What is it like that? Yeah. So in 11 verse, the very first verse, you follow that, you become a guru, okay? That's the first thing. Take care of that. You become guru, okay? Jagadguru. Vacho vegam, manasa krodha vegam, jiva vegam, udara basta vegam, etan vegam, yahavesha heta vira, sarvam apimam prativim sasishyat. Yeah. He describes it all. The Bible says the same thing. The Bible says, if you meet a man who has controlled his tongue, you've met a perfect person. Tongue has two functions. What are they?
Taste and
speech. Tasting everything? You see kids, they'll taste the microphone, little kids. Yeah, yeah. And then?
Speaking.
Yeah, yeah. The tasting thing goes down. First you want to satisfy your taste. You know, then your stomach becomes agitated. You know, then you get sexual agitation like that, so on. So it's a straight line if you lose control. Tongue, belly, genitals, hell. It goes right down. All this complication, adultery, violence, murder. Read Shakespeare. Yeah, look at every single movie on earth. Other side's going up. You talk about something, then you think about it. Yeah. And thinking, the most dangerous function of the mind is anger, right? Because of anger, you can do something, and just a few seconds later, you can realize, I just killed somebody. I became so angry, I killed them. My life has just changed forever. And yet I'm going to kill somebody. You can just say something so harsh that it'll take somebody 20 years to forgive you. Mm-hmm. What you said, like you hurt them so much. Like that. So, vacho vegam, manasa, krodha vegam. Yeah, it's talking power, speaking power in the mind. So as soon as we're always talking about Krishna, Krishna's service, going to work for Krishna, getting a job for Krishna, yeah, we should work for Krishna, make the money for Krishna, have Krishna in our house, bring the check home and put it in front of Krishna, say, I'm your servant, I made this money, now here it is, what do you want me to do with it? Like that, yeah. Then it's okay, then we surrender to Krishna, now Krishna has to take care of us. When there's problems, we can go to him and say, look, I'm your servant, I got this problem, I can't handle it. And he says, okay, yeah, don't worry. Checks in the mail. tomorrow you'll see it'll be okay. Yeah. Okay, thank you. And it works. Very practical. Mm-hmm. Not just blind faith. Blind faith for Bhagavad Gita 434, Prabhupada says, blind faith is condemned. Mm-hmm. Condemned. Not necessarily, we don't like it, no. Prahlad, little boy, Hiranyakasipu said, where is this God of yours, Prahlad? He said, he's everywhere. He was like 5 years old. Right, you know. And Hiranyakasipu says, is he in this column? And Prahlad looked, and Nrisimhadeva didn't require blind faith. No, he made his presence felt, so a little boy could look and say, yeah, he's there. You know? And that's the thing, we just testify to the truth. He's there. And that was one. And Hiranyakasipu found out he was there. Yes. So yeah, faith means applying what you know. Everybody has some knowledge about God. As soon as you have a human body, you can appreciate there's somebody controlling this. Right? You see controlling factors. You know, is electricity happening by chance? Did this building happen by chance? No. So any human being develops and sees there's noumenal forces. There's the phenomena and the noumena. Yeah, noumena, vijnana and vijnana. So we realize that, you know, and then we start looking broader and broader. Then we get people like Jesus Christ, Moses. Who else we got? You know, Muhammad, Lao Tzu, Confucius, Buddha, and they're all giving higher knowledge like that. And we can develop it. And we can develop that kind of consciousness and stuff. Introspection. And we can begin to see that. We can begin to see our own conscience. Let your conscience be your guide. And we know our conscience is telling us. Don't eat that extra glubjimam. You've already had enough. Yeah. Hey, go ahead and be brave. You know, you're trying to keep your mouth shut, but you got to stand up at this point for the right thing. And you can tell that it's there, right? Yeah. So then that then will guide us to Krishna as a person. Yeah. Pantheism, mysticism, monotheism, Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan. It's the same thing, like Sat Chit Ananda. Mm. There is a reality. Yeah? Mm. There is. Yeah? Buddha said there wasn't. Buddha said something like this. Maybe Shunyavad. Your family is an illusion. They'll go away. The city is an illusion. It'll go away. Your clothes, well, they won't last forever. Your body will go away. Your mind will go away. In the end, if you meet Buddha upon the road, kill him, because Buddha is also an illusion. Paranoid schizophrenia, like that. So after Buddha, Shankara came along and said, "There is a reality." Shankara said, "There is a reality." You know, what is it? Now we're not going to talk about this. You're not ready for it. You know, but there is Brahma Satya, Jagan Mithra. Then Ramanuja, Madhva, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That reality has variety. There's things you can do and so on like that, you know. So different people are on different levels. You only take birth in India if you were interested in spiritual life in your previous life. It's one of the laws of karma. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. You take birth in Italy if you like good food. You take birth in Peru if you like potatoes. You know? Yeah, so you ask people, they all raise their hands smiling. So there's like 400 varieties of potatoes in Peru.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So there's karma. Why are we here? We're here because everything's being controlled. Mm. Everything's for self-realization. That's the only reason they create this place. Mm. Right? Yeah. They create this place so people can slowly or quickly figure out what's going on and get back into the project. The spiritual world is like a Disneyland for Radha and Krishna that's only about 15% complete. Right? They have so many ideas about fun things to do and things to develop and new theme parks and this kind of stuff. And all of us are individual personalities with individual unique abilities that nobody else can do. Krishna creates unlimited number of new guys, you know, to do different things. And our abilities are ever expanding, just like Krishna's. Yeah. Does Krishna know himself perfectly? No, because he's expanding his own powers and glories, you know, and the gopis are expanding their abilities. Then he knows everything. It's a competition between his creative potency and his knowledge potency. You know? Yeah. So Upadeshamrita, a very nice book if you haven't got anything else, you know. And also what I do, I take him to Office Max and have him chop it off and spiral bind it. It's like, you know, lie open like that and so on, you know. Yeah. Everything is here for the most simple philosophy. Bengali Vaishnavism up to the most sophisticated, subtle aspects of Radha Kund and the gopis and these feelings. It's a beautiful summary. Like that. 11 verses. There's a commentary by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Then Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, which probably includes in every second half of every verse you see Bhaktisiddhanta's commentary. And he said, unless you wear the verses of this book around your neck, you can't make any advancement in spiritual life. But it's also in all of Prabhupada's books. You find a verse quoted here, a verse quoted here. I have suspicion if you went through and find all the citations and took them out with the commentaries, you'd have a very nice little Upadeshamrita. But one devotee, Hrishikesha Nanda, he was in Calcutta with Prabhupada, and he was visiting different Gaudiya Math temples, and apparently he was doing it okay. He wasn't becoming confused, and so Prabhupada was talking to him, okay, you do that, it's okay. So he said one time he heard about Siddha Pranali initiation. You know, where your guru says, you are a gopi, you wear red saris, you play with a ball like this, you know. Mm. Yeah, yeah. And he said, oh, Prabhupada, I want to take this. And Prabhupada said, when you are ready, I will give it to you. Mm. And he said, well, Prabhupada, what if you're not here when I'm ready? And Prabhupada said, whether I'm here or not, when you're ready, I'll give it to you. Understand? This kind of initiation doesn't depend upon physical connection. You've got to be beyond the physical connection when you're ready to start talking about what is your eternal form in the spiritual world. Right now we're trying to stop smoking cigarettes, beaties, and you know, reading fashion magazines and watching football games. You know? Yeah. And later on, we'll start to manifest. Who am I? I'm waking up. Who am I? Who am I? Yeah, yeah. So it's a whole science. It's the same if you're Christian, if you're Muslim, you find the same principles. Russian ice, Chinese ice, you know, ice from Delhi. Same thing happens when you apply heat. You get water. You apply more heat? Vapor. You apply more heat? Oh, plasma. Yeah, the atoms start to break down. It's universal. So you find the same things in the Christian writings, same, so, but a different perspective. It's very nice. You're looking at it and how Teresa of Avila, she describes the levels like that. She says devotional life is like a castle all made of crystal, like that. And she describes the levels, and you can match them up with our perspective. And it's just very interesting to see the difference. Prabhupada was in Australia, and they took him to see some Cistercian monks. These are Franciscan monks who were very austere, very clean, very nice. So they drove for about maybe 45 minutes. Prabhupada, a driver, and three more devotees. And they got there. It was a monastery out in the country. They were growing their own food, everything else. And they pulled in stuff, and Prabhupada got out, and some of the older monks were there. They looked at Prabhupada, and Prabhupada looked at them, and they both kind of smiled. There's a Buddhist phrase. When two thieves meet upon the road, they need no introduction. They know each other by sight. Yeah. So many times I've been walking, even in Western dress, I see somebody, I look at him, and I, this guy's a devotee, you know? I say, Hare Krishna. They go, Hallelujah. But you're very serious. People like that. You can recognize other people like that. So two thieves, just a big social function, everybody's going around. In one pickpocket, he can pick up the other pickpockets right away, right? You can look around and see. Why are you here? Okay, yeah. So this is, you know, different levels of purification. And you find the same principles. It's universal. It's universal like that. You know? Ethics, morality. And then we begin service to God. You know? The first thing, Adoshrada. This is Rupa Goswami. He quotes this quote in all of Prabhupada's books. This is the little summary. Nectar of Devotion is the full science. It's a summary of the Bhagavatam. Adoshrada. Okay, everybody's got to figure out what level you're on now. Different medicine. What does Adoshrada mean?
Faith.
Yeah, a little bit of preliminary faith. Okay, I've heard the Hare Krishnas are nice. My sister says they're nice people. I'll go to their program on Saturday. But if it's not nice, we're not going to go again. Check it out. Okay, yeah. Okay, well, it's pretty nice. Yeah, I mean, their acharya, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, seems like a very self-realized person. So, okay, Doshrada. Yeah, let me hang out with these people. Let's find out what they got. You know, investigate them and see what that is. And how they take care of their kids. What make their money. And what's their culture, their philosophy. Okay, then you do that and it starts to be nice. You start chanting Hare Krishna when you're cooking or when you're going to work. Doshrada, Sadhu Sangha.
Bhajana
Kriya. What does that mean?
Sadhana?
Yeah, Bhajana Kriya. Now you start asking questions. This is very nice, but I'm happy sometimes, other times. Is there a process? Is there a way to do it like systematically? Okay. This is like you go to the university, you take some courses, and finally you decide, I want to be an engineer. And you go and say, what do I got to do? Well, you got to do this, you got to do this. So this is matriculation, diksha. Formally we take vows, everything else, and there's a whole process, a contract, guarantee you follow this. Bhajana Kriya. You know? And in Jewish culture, there's also initiation. In Christian culture, there's baptism. A certain point where you actually make your formal commitment like that stuff. You know, now it's a whole different thing. Both sides are formally committed. It's like the wedding. The engagement's there, but you can still break it off, right? But at a certain point, that's it. And before it happens, the boy and girl are both asking questions about, you know, if it's an arranged marriage, you're asking your mother, are you sure about this guy? I've heard somebody say something, and are you sure about this girl? Yeah, because at that point we know now we're making a commitment. Yeah. And Krishna's making a commitment, both sides. Yeah. Okay, Bhajana Kriya, how many people on that level? Major commitment, initiated. What's next? Anartha Nivritti. Now you're following the process so the bad habits start going away. Of course there's gross bad habits, adultery, gluttony, these things going away. But also subtle ones, you know, so much literature talking about romance and all these things going on and making money and conquering the enemy and, you know, literature, games, sports, eating too much, you know, for gossip. These all start to go away, you know. And then what happens? Anartha Nivritti?
Ruchi.
Nishta. Now you become very fixed in the sadhana, the practices. What is the sadhana from the Prophet Muhammad? What does he require of his followers? That they have to do if you're a Muslim.
Five times?
Huh?
Five prayers a day?
You have to do namaj 5 times a day. That'll remind you of God. And you have to go to? Not Makkah.
What's that place?
Mecca.
Yes.
At least if you can do it once in your lifetime, every Muslim. Yeah. Ramadan?
Yeah. 1 month of fasting.
He gives a practical process that will work for those people at that time in that place. These people were having sex with their mothers. They were murdering their infant baby daughters, female daughters. So Muhammad came along and said, hey. And he gave them a tamasic purana for people in the mode of ignorance. But if you follow it, it'll take you to the highest level. You know? But it's designed for a certain kind of people. Maybe a lot of people in the world it's going to work. If ISKCON devotees managed the world, probably actually we wouldn't get rid of Islam, but we would run it so that it worked properly. Mm. Yeah. So many people on different levels. Some people, uncivilized people in the jungles, they're like animals. You see, there are people like that. There are pygmies and people like that in Africa and so many places. They just have the intelligence a little bit above a chimpanzee and stuff. Yeah, in Peru, I know this, in the jungle, this, in Manipur, Manipur in the mountains. Okay, okay. Yeah. So, okay, doshwada, sadhu sangha, bhajana kriya, narta nirriti nishta. And because you're fixed now, chanting your rounds every day, getting up early in the morning, have a regular sadhana to participate in the Sankirtan movement of Lord Chaitanya. Nishta then what?
Ruchi.
You get a taste, wow, of devotional service. Before, all you're getting is relief from distress. It's not actually a taste. But now you're experiencing what it's like to really serve Krishna. You cook an offering, you do your very, very best, you offer it to Krishna, and you see Krishna's looking at it like, and you feel that. It's just, you know, you're beginning to really experience this. Or through guru, through Vaishnavas, they're experiencing it and you stuff, and you're getting a little taste, you know. But there are different kinds of tastes. Some people like the taste of serving Ram. Some people like the flavor of serving Gopijana Balaba. Some like Sriman Narayan, you know. Some like Mahavishnu. Okay, Mahavishnu Loka is like a Shringarati that never finishes. Govindam Hari Purusham Allah Akbar Allah Akbar. Hallelujah, 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 Allah Akbar. It's Shantaras. It goes on forever. And some people they like that, you know. Yeah. So then you can start to cultivate. This is called Raganuga. Mm. Now you can start to try and make a feeling in your service, not just playing the thing, but now you're getting into it. How does Mother Yashoda offer lunch to Krishna? How do the cowherd boys offer lunch to Krishna? Let me try and feel it, and you can, and that will stimulate your real ruchi. Asakti, you become addicted. The atheist can burn you alive at the stake, you don't care. It's like, turn me over now, I'm probably done on this side. You know, yeah. No, you're attached. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, I'm warning everybody, Bhaktivinoda Thakur has had a taste of what Rupa and Sanatana were tasting. And he's willing to pay any price to get it. If he has to sell his grandmother to the devil, he'll do it. So Granny, don't trust Bhaktivinoda Thakur anymore. He's become addicted. You see this in Christian saints also, the same thing. Mm. Yeah. Okay, asaktis,
bhava.
We've got a seed. I'm going to give you a seed here. Okay? I say, if you grow the seed, you become rich. So, yeah, okay, little faith. Okay, what do you do with the seed?
Plant.
And what do you do?
Pour water.
When it starts to grow, what do you do?
Pour more water.
No? Well, other things too. Yeah. Automobiles are going by. You put a little fence around it to make sure the sunlight's proper. Yeah. Okay, then it becomes a sapling. Then it starts to have fruits and not flowers. Mm-hmm. You still don't know what it is. You have different levels. Adoshada, sadhu, sangha, bhajana, kriya, narta, nivritti, nishta, ruchi, asaktis, bhava. Ah, it's a plum. There's no plums like this in this part of the world. Yeah. When I was in, just came out of college, kiwi fruits first came to America. And now they're a big industry. Yeah. So bhava, you actually know what your relationship with Krishna is, but it's just not mature. So at that level, there's a different yoga to fully wake up and fully, you know, fully become back involved in devotional service. So very nice description, yeah, like that. It's all we'll put it in the Nectar of Devotion here. He paraphrases it here, different levels like that. You know? So very, very nice book. It's a summary of everything. Summary of everything. Then if you follow the citations that the acharyas use to illustrate these points, those will take you to fantastic, you know, other reading. Mm-hmm. It's a fantastic study guide, you know, for all of Prabhupada's books, mm-hmm, like that. And it's a great Vaishnava verse book. The verses cited in here, if you know all the verses cited in here, you know verses for all of our philosophy and stuff. And people think, very educated person. So, it's available for only, how much?
$5.
$5. In fact, if you really want to squeeze the guy, I imagine they'll give it to you for $4. Yeah. And if you want to buy 20, how many is it? Oh, give a discount?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I guarantee once you begin to taste a little bit, you'll want to. It's a very nice book. You know, very nice summary. So, I've already given two classes today on the internet. And now at 7 o'clock, I'm supposed to go online with one in South America. Like that. So any koi prashna, huh? Everybody's ready to buy the book? Yeah. Yes, sir.
Maharaj, I was just thinking about your about your statement that whoever desire for self-realization or was pious, they take birth in India or similarly.
Baba said that.
Maharaj, I was just thinking about it, that Kali Yuga is progressing and Indian population increasing.
So Prabhupada said it was, really, you know, maybe it was 40 years ago. You know, Prabhupada said that. Two lectures like that. So maybe now other people are starting to sneak in like that. Yeah. But even still, I mean, going around Calcutta, you see like some candy bars, chocolate on the outside and gooey orange on the inside. They'll be advertising it, Body and Soul, the best candy bar. You know, I saw one some time ago, not too long ago, when Poet Laureate died. And so they had him on television on Doordarshan, and they were going to burn his body, and flowers all around him. And the president of India ran there. And right on public television, the president of India, he wasn't talking. He got up and went over and moved the guy's head and the corpse like that and stuff. In America, you do that, people just go nuts, you know. Oh, he touched a dead man, you know. But in India, no, it's not a dead man. It's a dead body, right? Yeah. So even still, there's cultivation. We're asking about that. What percentage of Indian girls will hold hand with a boy before they get married? On the wedding day, you take the hands. Now, in the modern world, before it was, forget it. It's like, no way, until I'm married. First hand I'm going to hold my husband. So what's the percentage now? 10%? 15%? 20%? 30%? I have to think now. What do you think?
30%? Definitely more than previous.
Okay. But still in America, in Western countries, that's in America, in the Western countries, no, they're, you know, to speak of other things, they're getting engaged in all kinds of things. And many times it's just because they're ignorant. They're very nice people, but they just don't know what to do. They don't know what to do. So if we take this mission of getting some literature, take some books, keep them around with you, and you talk to people and get them out. And let Prabhupada do the speaking like that and stuff. It's a very nice time. Take a few books, keep a few in your house, a little variety, get to learn them a little bit, and you can distribute them. And so many people, you know, you'll save so many people's lives. Finish off one story. One girl was coming to our temple in San Francisco. It's a small temple. There are two, the bigger one and the smaller one. And it's kind of a little bit of a rough area, not real bad, but a little bit rough. So she was growing up in kind of this inner city high school area. And she was very attracted to all the process, but you see, because she was so attractive, she was feeling like, you know, nervous about it, so she was being a little bit like sarcastic about things, because she was like, you know, you could tell she was attracted. So she made friendship gradually with the girls there, and she was helping make flower garlands and the Didi outfits and stuff. So finally she told them that she was 17 years old, and she'd already had 3 abortions. 17 years old. It was horrible, you know, and stuff. She said, but I don't care. You can see she cared a lot. And her life was basically ruined. Like that and stuff. And so, but you know, she was a very nice person. But she was just caught up in the witch's plan. A little bit of education, she would have understood and stuff like that. And so, so take some of these books, learn a little bit of the first aid, you know, put people in touch with the ambulance driver. We can do a lot. You know. So any final question or comment here? Okay, so thank you all very much. And now I've got to get on the line here to Peru. There'll be 25 people waiting. Y vamos a hablar español. In Spanish, what is this? Okay, and in Hindi? Kamish. Okay, in Spanish, mesa. In Hindi, mezpar. Yeah. So many Spanish words are the same as Hindi words because they come from both come from Arabic. The Arabs conquered both. So if you speak Hindi, you start recognizing so many words of Spanish. Okay, thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Mahaprasadam ki jai.
So we want to express our sincere gratitude.